Good morning. Today is Monday, April the 16th. Was it Patriots Day? Almost Tax Day. Really cold day. Boston Marathon Day. And Dave Day.
Yes. We love Dave Day.
That's just
our favorite day.
John Day just didn't quite make the cut, and as long as he's out of the studio here for a couple minutes, then it's Dave Day.
Yeah.
From Redwood Capital Bank, Dave Turney is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, and you've got your 1/32-inch computer with you.
That's right. I got my iPad here just for reference sake.
It's almost like I'm not part of the club.
Almost.
Dave, with all the discussion that is going on with Zuckerberg and Facebook at the federal level, they're starting to talk about content, who gets what information, did you know you were providing the information, did you not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It's brought technology and some of the information we put out there voluntarily out into the discussion again.
Right.
Are we still being as stupid as we were 4 or 5 years ago about what information is shared, and for those who have inclination, what information is just the low-hanging fruit that they can grab about each and every one of us?
Yeah. I hate to use the word stupid, but...
Ignorant?
Perhaps ignorant is
okay.
A better word, yeah.
Okay.
I think that it's important for people to realize... with Facebook, it's a little bit of a different game for me because, you know, I understand when I sign up for Facebook, I sort of have this understanding that my information is going to be, you know, out there on the Facebook world. But when it comes to things like banking and online banking, I think people really need to understand that the security of their information really lies on them. We have, you know, terms of agreement and terms and conditions for people who want to sign up for online banking, for instance. And, you know, the problem, I don't know if you saw any of the Zuckerberg testimony, but I know they had a stack of papers that was about 2 inches thick, and they said, this is your terms and conditions. If, you know, it's like, who's going to read that? You know, that's pretty ridiculous to think that people are actually going to understand that. But it's important, I think, for people to realize that, you know, ultimately security kind of falls upon them. You know, people have a responsibility to take that into their own hands to a certain extent.
Kind of like if you start getting credit cards delivered to your house and you didn't order them?
Yeah, something like that.
Enough to trigger a question or at least a visit?
Yeah.
If somebody is so inclined?
Phone call, something. I mean, you know, a perfect example is email. So email is absolutely, and I think... most people realize this nowadays, but some still don't really understand the fact that it's not a secure communication platform. Email just inherently is not, it's not secure. So if you receive an email with a link that says your credit card, you know, number needs to be updated on Netflix or something like that, click here to enter your card number. It's one of those things you have to kind of stop and go, well, wait a second, you know, is this really true? You know, there needs to be a healthy skepticism there, I think, with that, so that you're, you know, always with your protecting your own data in mind.
Is there any idea, guys, how many emails the regular email holder gets? You know, the guys I hang with tend to get, I think, a little bit more just because we're in business and you got that level on top of personal. What is the normal amount that somebody gets? It's 10, 15 a day?
I mean, that just depends. Like you said, it depends on the user. I mean, you know, and also how many, a lot of the times most of that email that I get anyway is spam. So you really have to be aware of that too and sift through all of the email that you get. I mean, I might get 50 to 100 a day. Just depends, you know, but a lot of that is junk and it's stuff that I don't really need. So sifting through all of that to get to what's really, you know, the important communication is difficult. But it's hard to say, you know, like you said, we're in business, we have, you know, a job or whatever, that we have a corporate email address. That's going to get a lot more spam than probably somebody just at home.
Well, the novelty, I guess, is what I was getting to. If somebody only gets 5 or 6, they're going to be all hot and bothered.
Right.
Here comes something. Boy, I'm going to tear into it and see what's there.
Right.
If you get a lot of it or you're familiar with it or more well-versed, you look and go, wait a minute.
Yep.
This isn't my long-lost anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is something.
Exactly.
My long-lost banker,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Right.
Hi, John.
How are we doing?
It's great so yeah. far.
So okay, if I can just interject one thing on the email piece, and that is when you get an email from, you know, banks do not ask you to enter passwords on their email. We don't ask you for information for, on your Social Security and so forth. The best thing to do is if you get an email from a bank or even, you know, any company that you do business with normally, instead of clicking on the link, either go to their website and log in to your account and take a look, or pick up the phone and call them. Because, you know, by clicking that link, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
Is that me paying attention to these shows, or is that becoming more of a mantra for a lot of folks that if you don't click it, if you don't recognize it?
I think that's certainly the mantra we are trying to express to our employees at our bank, and it's something that I think we want others to have that same mantra. I think that's where people really need to get to that point where it's email is just simply not a secure communication. And there's also other email scams where it may not be a link in the email, but it may be somebody that spoofs John saying, you know, maybe to an employee of the bank, okay, hey, it's John, I need a wire sent to so-and-so, here's the account information, please send the wire. Well, it may not very well have come from John, so that's a whole nother level of scrutiny that needs to happen with regards to email.
Now, is that something that the regular guy or gal will get, or is that more business-related?
I think that's typically more business-related.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. We're back to Talk Shop. It's 8:24. The bank dude is with us. Hi, John.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
something like that. Only different.
Yeah. And Dave Turney, the guy that is in charge of all of the fraud stuff. Boy, I bet your life is full of weird details that most of us would not really grasp because of the regulatory requirements of all this stuff. The structure of the company's requirements for all this stuff, and then your own innate sense of what makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you avoid not jumping out of the third floor 3-4 times every morning?
Yeah. Well, that's a really great question.
Or do you have a basement office?
I don't have a basement office. I am on the second floor. However, we do have people that are in the basement office that do a great job in helping manage all of this stuff. So Nicole Beaucamp is our back office supervisor, Mark Chatton, our network administrator. These folks, and also Michael McCoy, who's in charge of our risk and compliance program, they all do such a great job of monitoring and dealing with all of this stuff that keeps coming out. And, you know, it's hard to keep on top of the technical vulnerabilities that are out there. And, you know, Microsoft releases new patches for their operating systems, you know, every month. And, you know, it's like, so there's constantly staying on top of all of that vulnerability. But then as I was mentioning, you know, how do we get that same level of diligence to our customers and to our, particularly our business customers? And, you know, it would definitely cause me to want to jump out the window if I didn't have such great support.
And that big trampoline thing.
Yeah. And that big trampoline helps too, the net.
The volume that comes through of change, the volume of information, how do you plow through all that stuff?
It's just meticulous. I mean, it's just, you know, you have to carve carve out time. I mean, because all you know, we all have our daily jobs that we do, you know, every day, and this is kind of our, we have to get these things done. But you also have to make time to dedicate to those kind of issues that need that attention. And you know, we have annual audits, and we have FDIC exams that come every 18 months. In fact, we have one coming up this year. So there's a certain level of, you know, wanting to make sure that we're staying on top of everything because we have to. But there's also, you know, we want to go a step beyond that too, and not just do the bare minimum, but we need to do more. And like I said, just having a great team certainly makes that possible.
John, how do you get out of the way from these guys? Because I figure you're about as competent as I am in some of these arenas. How do you, you know, I mean, as the overseer, you want to know that the right things are being done in the right order and the priorities are there. But when you start getting into the actual, how do you back off with this stuff and still know that the troops are accomplishing what needs to be accomplished?
Well, it's relatively easy. You have guys like Dave Tierney on your team. We have a great team. We truly do. ignorance is a couple of things, Brian. One, it's bliss. The other is the key to delegation. And I am not a techie, so as Dave would attest to that. and so I do rely on them heavily. But I will tell you this, that every audit we've gone through, every exam, it is flying colors. They do an excellent job. We have never had our systems violated. And every issue of fraud, and that's why we're here talking, has been because of clients that have either given out their passwords or fallen victim to an email phishing or whaling campaign. And those are the things that we see is, in fact, one case where an employee gets an email from her boss saying to wire some money out. Well, it wasn't from her boss, but it looked like it. And these phishing emails very much look like the real deal. And so you have to really look carefully.
Are banks more vulnerable because of the perception that you've got a stockload of money piled up in the back room and this is going to make it happen instead of, let's say, the caterer that's got themselves and somebody who helps out 10 hours a week?
Actually, it's the opposite. Banks, breaking into a bank system, it's very difficult to monetize that. Because, for instance, all of our client data is not in the building. So if you broke into that system, you don't have access to our client data. You can't make any transfers. You can't make any wires. So really, if somebody were to hack into our system, all they could do is they would look for vulnerabilities on the social aspect, try and find an employee that would give away a password or allow them into this the system.
Open the door.
Exactly. And so... we do a lot of testing of that, and I've kind of reversed things. I don't look for reasons not to open it. When I see an email, I'm looking for a reason to open it. And if I can't find, if I'm not expecting it or have a legitimate use for that information, I don't click on it.
Yeah. In addition to the fact that you're still trying to figure out how to click on things.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Right. John mentioned the testing, and that's something we do. Not just when we have exams and audits, but just throughout the year, we have a system where we internally in the IT department will send out fake emails and see if we can entice people to click. And if they do, we've done very well on that. But if they do, we provide some feedback.
Immediate. KINS News and Information Times 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning. We're back to Talk Shop. It's 8:35. Joining us this morning is Dave Tierney. And John, you kind of look like you had a rough weekend there, bud. Falling asleep over there.
I got a little bug going on.
Okay, from Redwood Capital. Well, I'm glad you're over there.
Yeah.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese Factory, and Redec. Guys, when you consider some of the different challenges that are out there, the small business, and I'll use Main Street definition of small business, not the techno groovy national standard, but let's say the under 25 crowd. Okay, how much time should they devote? How can they structure? Where do they go to find out? Who are sources that they can turn to say, either here's where we are, or here's where we want to be? What are some of the basic things that we need to take into consideration about security, about payroll, about all these things that oftentimes are put onto computers and computer programs that have an internet connection, which could open that vulnerability?
Yeah. Well, I think for our customers, and actually really anybody who's interested, go to a bank website. If you look at redwoodcapitalbank.com, under our online banking info link, we have a whole page dedicated to fraud prevention. So there's all kinds of information on here, general guidelines, things to be aware of, such as making sure that customers are signed up for alerts, for transaction alerts. So if transactions start hitting your account, you're going to be notified of that. So that's a pretty common sense kind of thing, but I'm not sure.
Retailers do that routinely?
I'm not sure if they do, but they should.
And that's a pretty simple, easy.
Yeah, that's
thing
a simple, easy thing.
Okay.
Another item would be something like for businesses who are using ACH transactions to do, let's say, payroll. That's the majority of what our ACH transactions are, payroll. There is the ability to use dual controls. So one person enters the ACH information, but they can't actually submit it. Somebody else at the company has to submit that information. So
it's
like
a double signing a check.
Exactly, exactly. And mm-hmm. So those are things that we have available, but we just need to make sure that people understand that that is available to them and that's an option for them if they want to do that. Now, the problem is, with those kinds of things and same with multi-factor authentication for logging on, things like that, it's not convenient. It takes more effort to do the ACH payroll when two people have to do it. But, what's the trade-off? Would you rather be certain that you're not going to be compromised or have the convenience? And that, believe it or not, is something we hear from people that, they hate. The password requirements. They hate having to have a strong password. They hate having to do multi-factor authentication because it's not convenient. But, boy, they'd be the first ones to wish it was there if they were ever compromised. So that's part of what we're, that's part of the struggle and the challenge that we have in educating our customers.
Life is full of ironies.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. I wish there was a little bit more gold than iron, but, hey, that's okay. John, do you get folks asking about the how comes and why nots on a regular basis around security issues? Physical basic, like why do you have a security guard, da 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 da, or why do we have the double signature, or why, the structural or procedural things that they run into in a lot of settings, obviously in banking situations also, but in a lot of areas, why do we have to do this? Why don't we have to do that? What's the best way to accomplish this? How do I make it easier? All that kind of stuff.
To answer your question, for the most part, no, we don't get a lot of people asking about our security.
Or about their company's security. How would you suggest that they approach
it? Yeah, and we don't even get, I don't get a whole lot of that. Most people assume that certain security things are in place. We do get calls when we started multi-factor verifications, because all of a sudden, they're asked to take another step. To verify that that is them. But most of the time when you get a complaint is when the money's already gone. And now they're wondering why the bank let it go. And you go, well, you just sent it on a wire or an ACH out. What do you think was going to happen? So, it's really unfortunate at that point in time. And a lot of it has to do with just, the basic steps that we've talked about. And that is, if your boss sends you an email saying to wire funds out to a certain place and it's unusual or it's a new place, pick up the phone and call him and find out, is this for real? There was a case that we were just talking about the other day where one of the person handling the accounts payable started receiving invoices from a vendor and send out tens of thousands of dollars to a vendor that didn't exist, just because they sent an invoice. So that kind of stuff happens. And so it really boils down to communication. If something new happens, pick up the phone and ask the question or walk down the hallway to whoever would know about it and say, hey, is this for real? And that's what our CFO does is, she'll come down and say, hey, I've never seen this invoice before, and is this for real? And we'll have that discussion.
Well, and I would think also if you're anticipating, okay, what are you going to assign this expense to? Mm-hmm. In theory, there's something to assign the expense to. Is this for this product or this area or, what is it? And just kind of the normal discussions that you would have. That's why I was thinking that larger companies might be more apt to be susceptible because just the poundage that comes through is so much larger to sneak in one or two things. If you're doing thousands a month, that could fly underneath the radar. If you're doing 50 a month and there's one or two new things, that's a dangerous percentage, not knowing where the money's going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one of the nice things about having a small local community bank at your disposal is, we can help you to identify some of those things and those some of those through our business development officers, try to talk about some of those controls and things that can go in place. For instance, another one that, I don't know if a lot of people know about is called Positive Pay. So we've had, occasional situations where someone will have some checks stolen or forged. And with Positive Pay, the business owner would upload to our system a list of all the checks that they've written and the amounts. And when those checks come through to clear, if they don't match the amount that was written and the check number, then it gets flagged and then, additional steps have to happen in order to validate that transaction. Again, it requires work on the customer's side because, that has to get managed. But at the same time, it does drastically reduce the possibility that you're going to have that fraud. But you're absolutely right. Depending on your volumes, that becomes more and more difficult. So that certainly is a challenge that we're always working on.
I just love the reference of checks.
Believe it or not, people still write checks.
That's right.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 848, final moment or two with Mr. Dalby and Mr. Tierney from Redwood Capital Bank. Guys, with some of the different turnovers that happen on staff, is it tough for a new employee to come up to speed, or do you think it's easier for new employees to come up to speed with whatever the company is doing with the various forms of security that may be employed in that setting?
Well, the nice thing about that is actually we don't really have a lot of turnover at Redwood Capital Bank, and so
I'm thinking of business operators here.
Oh, I see. I got you.
This is not a mirror. This is a lector. Yes.
Right. My mistake. Well, again, that is a challenge that I think everybody, you know, security needs to be a priority. And so if security is a priority in your company, then that will lay a foundation for everything that you do. And so when you do bring in new employees, you know, somebody, hopefully, you know, the owner of the business or someone who's been there for a while, they need to sort of make that understood that is a priority for this business. And that's what we do at Redwood Capital Bank from John's desk all the way down. It's just a conscious decision that this is important to us and we need to do this.
I suppose that's probably the big trick there, Dave. Conscious decision. Don't let inertia do it.
Right.
Take
absolutely.
Take that bull by the tail.
Right.
Or something like that.
Something like
Thanks
that.
For coming by, guys.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.